What's up, guys? Welcome back to Talkin' BS, episode 1.5. Thanks for following and listening, all you tens of people. Really appreciate it. Pretty good for, honestly, better than I thought for day one. Not bad. Much better than the Bruins and the Celtics did last night. I can tell you that much right fucking now. I was going to wait until Thursday, but last night was the first time the Bruins and the Celtics lost, on the same night in the playoffs since 2010, which is just an absurd stat. That's amazing. So yeah, we had to dive right in today. Before we actually start and talk about the game, I have a couple things about the broadcast and about Columbus fans in general that I want to get out there first, and then we're going to jump into the game. So just as an opener, a lot of my friends know this, but if you're not super close with me, you might not know that I absolutely love the product that NBC Sports does for the NHL playoffs. I think Doc Emrick is the best, the premier play-by-play guy in all of sports. He's unbelievable. He does he'll say some shit like, and it's a turning around half speeder on Rask, and it's like, if he was a radio guy, I'd be like, what the fuck is it turning around? But if you're watching it on the screen, you're like, that's absolutely what that shot was. It absolutely was a turning around, whirling half speeder. I don't even know how you put all those words together, Doc, but that's exactly what that was. Unreal. He's the fucking best. I love that guy. He's my hero. You know what he used to do? Do you know how he got so good? So this is a little history on Doc Emrick before we get into game three. So you know how he got so good? He grew up in Indiana, and there was no professional sports near him except for like some below AHL fucking like semi-pro hockey team. And he would get standing room only tickets, and he would walk down to the lower bowl because it's a fucking whatever. It's a AHL game because there's nobody there. And he put his headphones on with an old school tape recorder, and he would record himself, and he would call the games. He did it every day for years while he was growing up, for years and years. That's how we got so good at just transitioning to different things happening and using transition phrases and boom, 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 learning guys' names, learn how to say guys' names. And he's just a fucking hell of a guy. There's actually the only reason I know this is because it's from it's a pretty good little expose on HBO, on Real Sports on HBO. There we go. It was 2 years ago? A year ago? Anyways, yeah, that's what, I mean, if you're that dedicated to the craft, homie, like, good job. He also fun fact about Doc Emrick, he called Brett Favre's first ever football game for the Atlanta fucking Falcons. Yep. Bet you didn't know that. Take that little nugget. Anyways, speaking of taking nuggets, the Columbus Blue Jackets dangled theirs all over the Bruins' eyes last night, didn't they? God damn it. What was that? What was the, I'd rather get a go to the proctologist than watch that game again. Are you fucking kidding me? So for, oh shit, I forgot to get to my thing about Columbus fans. I'm so upset about the Bruins fucking no-show last night. It wasn't a no-show. I'm being mean. Anyways, the Columbus fans, the first 10 seconds of the game, they're chanting defense like they're at the Shoe, like they're at Ohio State, and it's 3rd and 10. Bro, it's hockey. You're doing defense chants in hockey. It's not a 5-on-3 in the Stanley Cup Finals, and you're up one. That's probably the only time you could do a defense chant in a hockey game. Like, what? Everybody plays both. Everybody plays everything. It's not football, Columbus. What are we doing? Also, oh, this is another one. So they played, you know that song, Please Tell Me, Please Tell Me. So they played that at about 10 minutes in the first period. And God bless. So the first thing I did is I disparaged Columbus fans. This is a fucking gold star, salt of the earth, Corrado Air Force salute to the Columbus Blue Jackets. They literally, so they stopped playing that. Oh, it's lit. That's who sung that. I was trying to think from last night. Yeah. Please tell me why my car is in the front yard. Sorry. So yeah, it stopped over the loudspeaker and they sung it for another like 25 seconds. It was fucking awesome. It took so long. I was like, oh my God, they're still singing it. Holy shit. It was very funny. Very human thing. It's a very catchy song. It was kind of cool. Other than that though, didn't think anything Columbus did last night was cool. They just dominated the Bruins. They dominated the Bruins from the opening faceoff. Honestly, I mean there were thrusts for the Bruins and the Bruins had their chances, but yet again, honestly from the goalie out, I'd say the goalie is the only thing that you can get close to a wash in this, honestly. Forwards, defensemen, it's been all Columbus. All Columbus. Starting with the stud, Seth Jones. Seth Jones is an animal. He's making, you know, remember in back when Pedro struggling against the Yankees in the early 2000s and he did that press conference. I guess the Yankees are my daddies. That's literally the Bruins need to do that to Seth Jones. Seth Jones is their daddy. He's their father. He was literally picking them up and putting them down wherever the fuck he wanted. Mainly on their asses. It's embarrassing. He's been, other than Bobrovsky, who's just unconscious and has me so scared for the rest of the series, other than him, Seth Jones has been the best player. Just eyeball test. Never mind points and production and stuff. Just actual end-to-end, both ends, efforts, everything. Just total play. He's been easily the best skater. Easily. There was a point, I took a note in it down here. I think it was in the second period. Here it is. Yeah. I go. This is in the third period. This is in the third period, mind you. Jones has been excellent. Jones has been excellent. Absolutely bodying people. Another steal in front of the net. Skates it into the B zone and fires on Rask. So he stole the puck from Krejci literally directly in front of Bobrovsky. Directly in front of him in his own defensive zone. And skated in basically a straight line through his defensive zone, through the neutral zone, into the offensive zone, got to about the tops of the circles, and just shot it. Nobody touched him. Nobody touched him. Nobody looked at him. I don't know. I don't know. Meanwhile, the Bruins can't make two passes to each other to get it out of their own zone. And their defensemen are skating like they're not a threat. Because you know why? The Bruins aren't a threat. They're not a threat currently. You know, they weren't last night anyway. And in the third period, Jones knew that. I think Jones kind of knew that all along. He sets such a tone. That Columbus team is so patient. They don't care. They'll grind with you all night. They'll grind those double overtime games out. They'll stick with you and they'll get in puck scrambles. That's what they want. That's what they want. And it sucks because that's the Bruins style too. They're getting beat at their own game. And it's not even just that. You know what else? The Blue Jackets are faster than you. The Blue Jackets are faster than the Bruins. That's not just, I mean, equal to above them in physical play is it's been going back and forth, but I'd say they carry the physical play too. The reason you're down 2-1 is because their fast guys are faster than your fast guys. Dzingel, Panarin, Jenner, even Seth Jones. Seth Jones has wheels. Their skill players and their top end guys are not only skating faster, they're actually playing faster. They're seeing where the puck is going to go. They're seeing how guys are being played, and the Bruins just aren't. The Bruins are hoping it. The Bruins are hoping and praying. I mean, just take an example of the goal. I don't know how DeBrus scored there. I don't know how DeBrus scored in that second period, at the end of that second period. I mean, like a turnaround, backhander, and he stuffed it in the pad, around the pad. He's getting hit from behind. Very few clean chances. And the clean chances that we had were either getting absolutely robbed by Bobrovsky, or they were hitting iron, or their defense is there, and it was hitting bodies, and it's getting deflected. So I mean, if you're not burying your chances, if you're not producing, it doesn't matter the skate game and the check game. That's a means to an end. That's basically what Columbus is doing. You get that big momentum boost by DeBrusk. But you know what? It felt like we kind of stole one, even though it was the right call. It was clearly the right call. The whistle hadn't blown. It was still traveling. I just didn't feel good at all that last night because of old Bob, because of Bobrovsky. I mean, 35 saves. He's like a cat out there, man. He is in such a zone. He's so locked in, and it's clearly visible on everyone's faces, and no one more evidently than the first line. That first line, no, one goal. They have 1 point. They have 1 point in three games. And I don't know where to go from there. The elephant in the room is, of course, from that first line, David Pastrnak, but he wasn't even on the first line last night. He was on the third line. Honestly, they were one of the third and fourth line in the first period last night were the best lines. In the first period, there was rushes. Even the first 15 minutes, Coyle, Pasta, and Johansson did have some chances. That line was the one early on in the game where McAvoy hit iron when he jumped up into the play. McAvoy's been playing well, but there's no production. You can play well all you want. We need to start scoring some points. Somebody needs to start scoring some points. My dad says all the time he's full of sports cliches. He loves them. And one of his favorite ones is, if your best players don't play well in the playoffs, you're not going to win. Your best players have to play the best in the playoffs or you're out. And it's very, very simple, but it's also very true. I mean, it's very the fourth line's been the best line in the series. They've been the best line in the series. Only line that has puck possession, other than when Coyle's out there with whoever he's with. That's the only line that's getting consistent offensive zone time, and it's ridiculous because there's no skill there. It's all possession. It's all possession and passing. There's no finishers there. Not setting up our finishers at all. Not setting anything up. You're getting bodied. They're getting out-hit, out-skate. I wouldn't say out-efforted. Efforted? Is that a word? I think it is. I'll look it up. I'll look it up later. but, yeah, I mean, it's just tough, man. It's just absolutely tough. That They're getting dominated in every facet of the game, except maybe goaltending. Goaltending, they're still losing a bit, but it's not as big a gap as every other skating combination. 5-on-5, penalty kill, power play, 4-on-4. What is one of the goals? I think one of the goals last night was 4-on-4. For, is that right? Let me see. Let me check my notes. Goal? No, it wasn't. But I know for a fact that the Blue Jackets have at least one 4-on-4 goal in this series. But yeah, I mean, it starts. I think that's where it starts. Starts with getting through to Bobrovsky. You have to get people in front of him. There's been nobody in front of him for three games. Nobody wants to go there. And I attribute that to the guy I was pumping his tires earlier, Seth Jones. That first pairing, him and is it Anderson? I think it's Anderson or Savard. I forget who plays with him. They're just shutting whoever they're on the ice with has no shot. They just bully them off the puck. It's unbelievable. The power play. Power play is atrocious. It's just, it's abysmal. There's no puck possession. It's not, night and day would be an understatement if you watched last night or at all the series of Columbus's power play and our power play. You wouldn't even think, if they had white jerseys on, you'd be like, oh yeah, so that's a juniors team. That's the South Shore Kings. And, oh yeah, that's a professional hockey team. And, like, it's just minor league. The Bruins' power play is minor league at best right now. They have no skill. They can barely get it in to set anything up. The Blue Jackets are using pressure to make the Bruins be reactionary rather than vice versa. Rather than making the team you have the man advantage over, I don't know why you would attack them. Why would we do that? Might give up a shorthanded goal. The Bruins gave up 15 shorthanded goals this year. Maybe they're finally cognizant of it. But you know what? You still have to attack. They're still the Blue Jackets are attacking them when they're on the penalty kill. And it's working. They're killing them. They're absolutely killing them. Oh man. I don't know if you can tell, but I am just not I just am not at all happy. Not happy in the slightest. With this fucking effort from this team. I mean, to survive that, and at the end of the day, they still only lost by one goal. That's what's so frustrating about it. Like, if they got outplayed like that last night, and they didn't hit all that iron, and they just got outplayed and dominated, and it was, you know, 4-1 on an empty net goal, or 5-1 on an empty net goal, you go, you know what? That team was better last night. That team came with it. We weren't ready. First game in Columbus. Cool. The chances are there. They're not many, but they're there. And you got to bury him. You've got to bury him. It's that simple. I think Bergeron's been getting a pass a little bit this series just because, or I think he gets a pass in general from Bruins fans. I'm one of them. I love him. He's one of my favorite professional athletes. The way he plays, the way he carries himself, all that. And you know what? That's all fine and dandy until you can't win faceoffs for me on my power play in the playoffs when we need puck possession and goals are at a premium. He's still 75% last night. I mean, it's great. He's arguably the best faceoff guy in the league, but I mean, I look at the stats, but then I watch the game again, eyeball test, and we talk about, you know, the gotta have it moments. You gotta have it. We got Bergie needs to somehow tie this up or get the stick down quick and win that. We need this. We need a little momentum here, and he loses it. Dump it down the ice. 16 seconds comes off. Krug skates up. Leaves it. Tough time getting in. Now it's a minute. It changes the aspect of the whole power play. if you let that first 15, 20 seconds rattle off, changes the whole tenor of it. And he need, I can't say he needs to be better. He needs to find his clutch gene. He needs to be clutch and win big faceoffs in the offensive zone when it matters. So we can, you know, I don't know, maybe score more than one goal on that freak, that absolute freak of nature, Sergei Bobrovsky. He has been unreal. I mean, 35 saves again last night. Deflections. He's seeing around. Actually, he's not even really seeing around, guys. His defensemen are bodying people. There's, like I said before, nobody's in front of the net. Nobody is. Nobody wants to go in the front of the net. I think it's time to talk about the elephant in the room, David Pastrnak. David Pastrnak has been, I wish he was a zero. He is an absolute negative. Something's very clearly wrong with him. I don't know if it's the thumb. I don't know if it's physical, mental, spiritual, other. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with him. He needs a blow. He needs to sit. We need to bring Backus in. We need what a ridiculous statement that is in 2019. Got to sit the young talent for the fucking 36-year-old whose prime was past him the year the Bruins signed him. I mean, I know he's not the guy who started in the Olympics for Team USA, 6-7 years ago. But you know what? You got to change the energy. You got to change the juju, like Claude did. Claude did it in 2011. Who did he do it? He did it against the Lightning, right? He took Sagan out and put Thornton in. Or no, it was vice versa. I think he took Thornton out against Tampa, Sagan in, Sagan scored, and then he did the opposite in the Stanley Cup Finals. That's what you need to do. They need some different blood in there, because him moving lines, him moving down to the third line, although it was a good initial thrust, it was a good like little surprise, I guess you could say, for Columbus in that first period. It petered out way too fast. The thrust that they had for that first 10 minutes, or that middle 10 minutes in the first period, wasn't sustained. Just wasn't sustained. I think you need to sit him down, give him a blow, and get his mind right. I mean, I know that sounds crazy. He scored 40 goals this year. Or did he score 40? Or he would have scored? I think he would have scored 40 if he didn't break his thumb getting drunk with Faneuil Hall. But yeah, that's a tough one, man. I don't think he will, but he should. I think Bruce Cassidy should sit him down. He needs to figure something out. That's all I know. And it just really sucks. It sucks because that line was so good. That line was so good in this regular season and seemingly could score at will, or at least create chances at will. Like I said, it would be one thing if Bobrovsky was actually stealing these games and, you know, making the Dominic Hasek, like, roll over on your head, kick your pads up, and, you know, robbing people. But, I mean, they're hitting posts, they're getting shots blocked. I mean, it's tough. It's a tough series, man. This Columbus team is no joke. I completely underestimated them. I thought they were a flash in the pan. Caught lightning in a bottle for, you know, whatever it was, 6 or 7 days against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I was just so wrong about them. They got a lot of guys. They got a lot of free agents that they nabbed and trades that they've done. You know, with Panarin, with DeZingle, with who's the other guy that they got? Duchesne was very good. out in Colorado, and they nabbed him up. I mean, they really built that team. Think they really built that team for some playoff hockey, man. I mean, this isn't sustainable in the regular season, obviously, because the NHL playoffs are the most different, are the most vastly. How do I want to put this? It's the biggest jump in the difference of the product on the ice. So, like, the NBA regular season and postseason, pretty much the same. Pretty much the same. Baseball, again, pretty much the same. Guys might throw a little harder, but it's basically the same game. The NFL and the NHL, I'd say even more so in the NHL, the product on the ice, if you're watching it in December, it's just a completely different game, a completely different animal than when you turn it on a hockey game in the middle of May and it's crunch time. It's just so different, and I think that's why they were struggling, and they had to really turn it on at the end. I'm talking about Columbus to make the playoffs, because they realized, like, hey, if we make it in, you know, they got crazy Torts. I fucking hate Tortorella's face too. He just every penalty call, he just laughs. Like, what did we do? Like, this is what could we have possibly done? I think he's a fucking dink, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, that's I don't know. That's my two cents. I think they knew if they could just get that foot in, they were like, guys, we're big, we're fast, we can do this. So I don't know. Been talking for a really fucking long time, 27 minutes. Hate to see it. As far as the Celtics go, didn't watch much. I guess I didn't miss much. The only thing that I really took away that I saw a stat online last night that they, they were only down three. It was 74-71. I think it was in the third quarter. And it was the third or the fourth, I forget. And they decided the next 15 of the next 16 possessions not to score a point. It's bold strategy, Cotton. See how it works out for them. What the fuck? Yeah, that's not a winning recipe, I don't think. I think basketball, you should score buckets. I think you should get buckets. Basketball is not really my. Let's restart that. The Celtics for me are like a really, really rich guy who's got a lot of cars. Like, you say, oh, like, which one's your favorite? Which one's your favorite? I don't really have a favorite. Like, I like them all. It's like, no. You have one or two favorites, and then you got the other two that are cool. That are cool looking, and they're fun. That's the Celtics to me. They're just another kind of car. You know, they're another thing, but I love them. I still do love them, and I care for them. I'm interested. I'm engaged. Just not as much so as the other three. I don't know. I think the reason why I watched the Bruins last night is because I think that Celtics game is destined. That Celtics game, that Celtics series is destined to go seven. And the games are obviously going to become a lot. So yeah, I'm doing Celtics in seven, and I'll do Bruins in six. I just don't want to see a game seven. What an asshole. Here I'm sitting here 30 minutes just absolutely lambasting, just roasting the Bruins and how bad they've sucked. And how much better I think Columbus is from the goalie out. And I'm just like, yeah, but the Bruins are going to win three games in a row against them. What a true asshole. What a true Boston sports fan asshole thing to do. Just roast your team for hours on end, and then in your prediction just go, But we're gonna win. I mean, we win everything. It's Boston Sport. We win everything. Really, thanks for listening. If you made it through this shit show, it's gonna be a lot like this. You can follow the Twitter. The Twitter is at TalkinBS1. You can follow the Instagram. It is at _TalkinBS. Send me any questions you want, any comments you got, words of encouragement, roasts, like what the fuck were you talking about here? You know, constructive feedback. Tell me to go fuck myself. I don't care. I just want to get some interaction going. So yeah, anything you could tweet it, you can DM it on Instagram, whatever you want. But yeah, I might do. I've also been thinking, maybe rather than waiting for additional topics other than the playoffs, I might do, just to break up the monotony a little bit, I'm probably gonna wait just a couple weeks rather than a couple months. And I might do a Game of Thrones recap once the series is actually over. I'm gonna let it all breathe, and then I might do one like a day or two after it's had time to settle, because I'm sure whatever's coming is it's gonna be wild. So if you're a Thrones guy or gal, be on the lookout for that. Other than that, we're gonna be doing Bruins game 4 and Celtics game 3 on Friday. Hopefully it's not filled with a bunch of moans and groans and complaints and belly aching. That's pretty much what I did. It's pretty much what I did this whole this whole podcast. I just belly ached about how bad my team sucked. And you know what? It feels pretty fucking good. It feels pretty good. I feel great. They're great. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Love you. Go Bees. Go Seas.